This is the Monday, February 21st edition of the Daily Wager podcast. We've got you covered with a variety of action for tonight, so settle in. We'll set you up in the next 10 minutes with everything you need to know heading into the betting day.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Daily Wager podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. With that being said, Aaron, today has to be one of the slowest days of the sports calendar. So
we are grasping at straws
right now to put together a solid podcast for the listeners. How are you doing? First and foremost, what did you? What was your takeaway from the NBA All-Star Weekend?
I thought it was. There were peaks and pits. The pit, I would say, was absolutely a dunk contest, which I think everybody can agree upon. It was just, it was hard to watch at certain points. It was like somebody just really dunked the ball. But I thought the three-point competition was really good. And then, of course, the game was, like, awesome last night. I feel like you can't go wrong watching all the stars play.
Yeah, you know, for me, forever and a day, like, the slam dunk contest to me was, like, the highlight. Even better than the game, better than anything. But slowly but surely, for me, it's starting to turn into the three-point shooting contest because I feel like we've seen everything. I think they need to change the slam dunk contest.
It's become too much.
I don't know.
Like, they're trying to get too creative. You know what I mean? Like, so it's harder.
So this is what I thought about this. I had this discussion with some friends last night. And that is, like, make it where, like, all right, make it where, like, you, like, gymnastics, right? Where, like a gymnast has to do a routine, but you tell them everything that has to be in the routine, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, all right, so here's your first dunk, and you need a behind the back, through the legs, reverse, behind the back. Like, you
– And
you
tell, two tries. Right? Two tries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you've got two tries to do it. And if you don't do it, you're eliminated. But, like,
agreed.
But, like, the NBA like puts the parameters in regard to what has to be in the dunk, like they do in gymnastics.
That's
like,
actually a good idea.
I think that would make it more interesting.
It needs to be quicker, and it needs to be like, it needs to go back to the basics.
Yeah,
no, it's just crazy.
It needs a facelift, Aaron. It needs.
Yeah, I didn't need to see anyway. You know, the Tims come out. I didn't need to see all the theatrics, and then, you know, you're getting sixes across the board. Can't be doing that.
So some big news out of the NBA All-Star break, and that is Chris Paul with the fractured finger thumb. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, which means he's not going to play anymore for the remainder of the regular season, which is going to be about 7 weeks. He'll be lucky. Yep. He comes back. They're aiming for April 16th. So granted, okay, here's the positive. The positive, he's 36 years old. He gets to rest his legs to get ready for the postseason. But there's a chance that he doesn't come back until maybe midway through the first round. And who knows? Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, the Lakers get in as the bottom seed. And now they have a first round matchup against the Lakers. AD's back, let's say. It could be an interesting scenario. Regardless, I'm still not doubting the Suns, but what I am going to do is I think Golden State is only going to get better. You know, Draymond Green, Weissman is expected back. Clay is definitely turned the corner. So I think the Golden State Warriors to win the Pacific Division at plus 650 is really good money right now, especially considering with Chris Paul's injury.
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix is 6.5 games ahead of the Warriors. So I do feel like they have a cushion to kind of lean back on. I mean, CP3 is averaging 15 points per game, which is below his career average. I think that the Suns defense can, you know, keep them afloat. They're tied first in defensive rating over the last 15 games. And they have the seventh toughest schedule down the stretch. But at the same time, you have, you know, players like Ayton that have been honestly awesome. And then he's got great backups. Should anything happen to me, it's not like he's going to be overworked or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, it's. I feel like we kind of keep talking about this. It's because we have to, you know, the futures markets and everything. But there's just so many hypotheticals, like you had just mentioned. You know, the Warriors might get these players back. The, you know, AD might come back. Kyrie might be able to play every game in New York. But there's so many hypotheticals, it feels like, this season with big stars, you know.
It's going to be intriguing, you know, 24 games remaining until we kick off the postseason. So we'll see how that all develops. Also, side note, Steph Curry to win the MVP at plus 850. I don't think these odds are going to stay this high as the season continues, especially I do believe if Draymond Green comes back, Weissman comes back. We saw Steph Curry heading into the All-Star break. At one point in time, he was shooting 33% from downtown. His last five games prior to heading into the All-Star break, that elevated up to 44%. So he had his slump. He's on the uptick. So I really like, especially after what we saw him do last night, I really do like Steph Curry to win the NBA MVP at plus 850 right now. All right, let's take a look at what's going on in college basketball, because really, unfortunately, like I said, this is one of the slowest days of our calendar sports year. So with that being said, some college hoops is now's the time for people to really start paying attention to what's going on in college basketball, especially if you want to try to win your NCAA March Madness pool. You really want to get a feel for these teams. So with that being said, what are some of the games and what are some of the lines that you're on heading into tonight, Erin?
So first game I'm looking at, Arizona State, UCLA. I like the under in this one. Now, you could have gotten it last night at 134. It's moved all the way down to 131.5. And that's actually something to kind of note for college basketball. These lines are available the night before, whereas I feel like with the NBA, you wait till the morning for them to be posted. So you kind of do have to take advantage of it, I feel like, a little bit more in advance than betting up to, you know, when the game's going to tip off. But I do think this is a huge number to lay with UCLA. So I'm going to focus on the total here. The last time these two teams met, you know, Arizona State upset them in triple overtime. So there was 171 points scored. But if the game had ended at regulation, they would have had around 124 to 25 points. That would, the 125 would have gotten them, one of the teams, a win. But I just, again, think this is way too big of a number looking at under, because, you know, Arizona State's, their defense has been good. And, you know, they made it clear in that game against the Bruins, they held them to 37% from the field. They went, or held them to 5 of 22 from beyond the arc. So I don't think they're going to be able to do that again. I think we'll see a better UCLA team in this, but I do think that considering that their defense is so well and they're not great in scoring offense. I mean, they rank 314th, averaging 65 points per game. Their shooting's not great. Defense is okay. So I just see this being an under game.
I like that. Arizona State, their last game, they held the Beavers to 53 points. So I like that. But here's the thing. Do you have a scooter, by the way? Because I have a scooter. I love my scooter. Like, I'm literally in love with my scooter. Like,
The one you stand on or the one that you sit on?
No, the one, this, who sits on a scooter? No.
You know what I'm talking about? Those little, what are they called, where you sit, they're like Vespas, maybe? Where you kind of like, yeah, it's a scooter, no, but you sit on it.
I have a standing scooter that I scoot around New York City in. A,
there's no way I would get on that. I'd be falling off left and right every other street. Well, I'm not going to participate.
Come on. I mean, I can see you scooting around Philly on
anyway, no way. A, someone will steal it from me.
it saves me a ton of money. Okay. That's first and foremost. B, I've got a little speaker on it. I jam out. Nice. I just, especially in the summer, I wear a tank top. So I get sun, I scoot around the city, save a ton of money, and it's a boatload of fun. Anyway, where I'm going with this is Johnny Juzang from UCLA. He fell off his scooter. He hurt his hip. So,
oh, that's how he did it. Oh gosh.
Yes. Yes. Were you wondering where I was going with this?
So yes. I'm like, where is she going? Is she scooting into a parlay? Like, where is she?
So, I mean, he's going to be a game time decision. Jump on Arizona State right now, getting 14, right? Like, listen, they've had the same starter.
It was 16.5 last night.
I see it at 14 right now, man. If you get it, yeah. if it's 16.5, man, again, hashtag run, don't walk. You know what I'm saying there. You know, slow start to the season for the Sun Devils, because they were dealing with a lot of injuries. Their last 8 straight games, they have the same starting five. They're 6-1-1 against the spread. They've been playing great lately. They've won 3 straight. They already beat UCLA once already this season. Like I said, they held the Beavers to 53 points. So defensively, as you alluded to, they're playing well. And if Johnny Juzang, I like saying his name, can't play because of his scooter injury to his hip, that this line's going to drop. So this is one of those lines, like, jump on it now, especially if he's going to be a game time decision. Even if he does play, obviously he's not 100%. Any other college games you're on?
I've been looking at Penn State, Maryland. It was PSU +3, but now it's moved down to 2.5. So I don't like it as much, but if maybe if it goes back to +3 on certain books, if you shop around, I would grab that. I mean, Penn State, they're looking to break, you know, their 5-game road losing streak. They're terrible on the road. They're, you know, 1-6 in Big Ten play when playing on the road. So I understand that, you know, again, they're on the road and they're not great, but you know, I think that they could potentially cover this. Their defense ranks 3rd in the conference. They're holding opponents to 65 points per game, just behind Rutgers and Indiana. They're top 5 in the conference for defensive rebounding, and they've held, you know, some pretty good teams in the Big Ten below their, you know, respective scoring average. And I understand, you know, again, that how bad they are on the road. I just think they could potentially cover this one, considering the Lions are also 5-0 against the spread in their last 5 games following a straight up win.
I'm looking at the Ohio State University. They're only laying 6.5, and they're going up against the Hoosiers, who have lost 4 straight, and they've been struggling as of late. Meanwhile, Ohio State, yeah, they lost to Iowa on Saturday, but they've won 6 of their last 10. They're shooting 52% from the field, and they've just been playing, in my opinion, better ball. So Ohio State laying 6.5. I'm also on Baylor -5. They beat TCU. That was their last game, 72-62. They've covered on the road 5 straight games against Oklahoma State. They're 22-3 as favorites. And you know, you've got a Oklahoma State. They have not been playing well as of late. They're 1-5. So again, I'm on the Sun Devils getting the points right now. At last I saw was +14. Aaron's saying it's +16, +16.5. Again, hashtag.
Or sorry, no, that's what it was last night. I'm saying it's like moving in favor. Sorry.
It's moving in favor of ASU. Yeah,
it probably will continue to do that.
Yeah. So jump on it now. Baylor -5 and Ohio State University at -6.5. Anything else?
Nope, that's a wrap for a very, very slow day for me.
I know, it is a slow day. Two other things I just want to mention really quick, and that is in golf, now the golf tour heads to Florida. It's time for them to kick off their Florida swing. The Honda Classic is coming your way. I'll have some Honda Classic picks for you a little bit later on the week on the podcast. But right now, looking ahead to the majors, Patrick Cantlay is playing some amazing golf. So if I were you, I would jump on him to win Augusta, to win the Masters at 16-1. Again, I don't think those odds are going to be as attractive when that time of year, April, rolls around. Also, there's a great bet out there, Aaron, that Patrick Cantlay is going to finish in the top 10 in all 4 majors, and you could get that at 50-1. Right now, wow, he's 9th in strokes gained on approach, 8th in strokes gained total on tour. Mm-hmm. He, again, has just playing like so more consistently than any golfer, and his game is just on tap. I've never seen Cantlay play as well as I have to start this season. So again, Cantlay to win the Masters at 16-1, for him to finish in the top 10 in all 4 majors at 50-1. And last but not least, a really big story out there. And I'm Aaron, I'm all about the NFL draft, and I love going to Indianapolis for the combine. A lot of agents are thinking about boycotting the combine in regard to a number of rookies because of the NFL and them trying to create this bubble in Indianapolis. So there might be a number of college players that are not going to attend the combine. Nonetheless, that's a big story. Right now, you can actually wager who you think is going to be the number one overall pick. And Evan Neal, offensive tackle from Alabama, you can get him right now at +150 to be the number one overall pick. As you know, Trevor Lawrence drafted to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They got the number one overall pick More than likely, they're going to lose Cam Robinson to free agency. To me, Evan Neal is going to be the number one overall pick. We haven't seen an offensive lineman go first since 2013. I really do believe this is the year. There's so many great offensive linemen and defensive linemen, especially that are going to be taken early, but probably none better than Evan Neal. So just a little futures bet there as well in regard to Evan Neal going first overall in the draft, again, at plus 150. So that about sums it up. Again, a very slow Monday. It is President's Day, so hopefully everybody out there is enjoying. Hopefully a lot of you have your day off. Aaron and I do not. We'll be on bet at 4 o'clock this afternoon, so make sure you tune into that. And also we'll be a part of Daily Wager later on tonight at 6 o'clock on ESPN2. So we thank you so much for tuning in. Please do us a favor and rate, review, and follow if you're enjoying the podcast. It helps us out tremendously. And, of course, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.